Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We magnify your great name. There's no God like you. We thank you that even as you have brought us into this Christmas season, we recognize that everybody else is focused on so many other things. And we ask that you might help us to focus on the real meaning behind this season. I ask, oh God, that in these next few moments, that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, challenge us, charge us, and change us till we look more like Jesus. Allow us to understand what you're up to and what you're up to in us so that we might be about your business in this day, in this time, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that continues to annoy or entertain or interest me is the markers that people tend to use to identify themselves. Those markers speak volumes about who people are, what they value, who they want to be around. Stuff like bumper stickers. Have you ever just been entertained by bumper stickers? You know, slogans on t-shirts, hats, nowadays even masks. Those are markers that kind of prove and show what people value. You know, if I see a Confederate flag on somebody's bumper sticker, in my mind, I'm going to know and understand what they value. Even now, people are going to these great lengths. They've already started decorating even their cars at Christmas time. And it's to show that they value, that they're in the Christmas spirit. That's how they want to be seen and how they want to be identified by those markers, what they surround themselves with. And at Christmas, one of the things that we got to know and recognize that those whom we see, those whom God wants to be identified with. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Version. Very interesting, very deep, very theologically filled passage of scripture. I'm not going to do it justice, but we want to look at it and use it for our understanding on today. Look what it says. The Bible says, who, talking about Jesus, existing as God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a human in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for that reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. Now, watch this. Check this out. What God showed us about himself is worthy to be celebrated at Christmas time. This passage helps us understand what it is that God revealed about himself through Jesus and why we celebrate Christmas in the first time. Because at Christmas, we ought to celebrate, first of all, the fact of the incarnation. The Bible says in verse 7 that he emptied himself and he assumed the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had become a human in his external form, he humbled himself. Listen, that God, in the form that he is as a divine being, the Godhead themselves, they have all of these divine attributes, all these divine powers. They have all this capability that they choose to eternally be who they are. But Jesus, being obedient to what was needed for the need of humanity, he incarnated himself. He humbled himself. He took on the frailty and the weaknesses of our humanity. He had all of these advantages that he could use, but like with your phone, sometimes you have apps and capabilities that it can do, but if you uncheck it, all you really have is a piece of plastic and metal and glass in your hand. It's a form, but it does not have all of the capabilities that it could be used for. Jesus unchecked the divinity aspects of himself when he took on our humanity. He took humanity on experientially. He experienced everything that a human does. The Bible says that he got tired, that he got sleepy, that he had to deal with the limitations of what it means to be a human. He grieved, he cried, he suffered loss. He dealt with all of those aspects. He experienced everything that humanity is. Not only that, but he took on our humanity existentially. He exists as a human being. He understands all that goes into the weaknesses of these bodies and this existence that we live as humans. But he also took on our humanity eternally. The body that he was resurrected in, that glorified human body, is still a human body that we will see one day when we get into the eternal kingdom. It's a human body. He will continue to be a human into eternity. He took it on experientially. He took on our humanity existentially, and he takes it on eternally. Listen, the incarnation of Jesus reveals the heart, the values, and the intentions of God. He intentionally took on our humanity. And we celebrate that at Christmas, not just the fact of his incarnation, but the framework of his incarnation. Go back to verse 6. This is where it gets a little technical. Watch this. The Bible says that Jesus, existing as God, did not consider his godness as something to be used to his own advantage. Stop. Slow down right there. He had the privilege, but he chose not to use his privilege for himself. Instead, verse 7 says, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave. He didn't just take on humanity. He took on the lowest kind, the lowest framework of humanity. When he took on our humanity and he humbled himself, he was obedient to the call and the cause of God for our sakes. But the framework in which he chose to do that is interesting to note and to take a look at and to recognize what it was that he did and what he stepped into as a human. Check this out. Historically speaking, Jesus took on the humanity of a non-white person in a police state under European Roman control. That's interesting to note. In his humanity, Jesus shows up and takes on the humanity as a part of an oppressed people group, as a Jewish person under Roman rule. In that day and in that time that Jesus takes on humanity, it's interesting to note the issues and the framework of the humanity that he takes on. He takes on humanity as a part of the underclass. He wasn't a rich man. He was a part of a working class that was making it day to day if they could. That's why part of that prayer that he taught his disciples to pray was, "Give us this day our daily bread," because that was the existence that Jesus came into in the framework of his humanity. The framework of his humanity was he was a part of a religious culture that was misunderstood by the larger culture and became a target in many times and in many cases, even up to today, because people did not understand what their faith system was about. With all the types of humanity that Jesus could have come in, why was that the framework? Jesus sovereignly chose to be identified with the powerless and the exploited in the conditions of the humanity that he took on. That's important to note, because there are a lot of people trying to tell you now that Jesus was a rich man, that Jesus was this powerful guy, that Jesus, the human Jesus, he was like the kind of people that try to run our country. And that's just not historically true. Jesus wasn't born in a palace with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he was born in a stable to working class parents. That ought to make us question why. Why would Jesus choose that framework for the type of humanity that he would step into existentially and experientially? I'm not going to solve it all today, but that's an interesting thing that we're going to come back to. We celebrate not just the fact of his incarnation, not just the framework of his incarnation, but the function of his incarnation. Stick with me, because I'm going somewhere on this one. Listen, verse 9 says that because Jesus humbled himself, because Jesus takes on humanity existentially and experientially and eternally, for that reason, God has highly exalted him. That God has lifted him up and given him a name and a position that is above every name. That he is and one day will be known as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. that God has lifted him to that position. He humbled himself, and the Father has exalted him. He will cause him to rise. He has caused him to rise. He will cause him to rise. Now watch this. It fits in the function of Jesus's humanity. The larger purpose for which Jesus takes on humanity was to embody the kingdom philosophy of lifting as you rise. Stick with me, I'm going somewhere. The Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and that the Father has exalted him. But there was something that happened in the process of the Father exalting him. Keep one finger in Philippians chapter 2 and flip over to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul is talking about Jesus and Jesus in his earthly ministry and taking on humanity. He says, now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah, of the Christ, of Jesus's gift. For the Bible says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity and he gave gifts to people. Watch this. That part of what happened, that as God has exalted Jesus because of him humbling himself, that as Jesus rose, the Bible says he gave gifts to men. That he took captive those who were prisoners. Watch this. That as he rose, Jesus lifted some people with him. Jesus came to lift as he rose. Now check this out. Remember who Jesus, the framework of the humanity that Jesus was put into. Not those in power, not those in Congress, not those with their hands on the buttons and those who could pull triggers, but he was incarnated into the lower class, the powerless, the people who had no juice, the people who didn't have the money, the people who didn't have opportunities. Jesus came in that form of humanity as a slave, as the lowest kind, and that points us to who and what Jesus chose to identify himself with points to what the Godhead values. See, the incarnation teaches us that God values humanity. God values humans who are disadvantaged and dysfunctional and depressed and downcast and struggling. God values humans enough to seek to redeem us so that as Jesus rises, he lifts us out of what we were in when he found us. I wish I could say it like I want to say it right now. Watch this. God values redeeming humans and liberating them from the sins and the systems that oppress them so that we could be released to walk in the fullness of what he's created us for. The incarnation shows us that Jesus lifts as he rises, and that he is calling us to walk out of the systems and the mindsets and the behavior patterns that have kept us oppressed, that Jesus specifically came to people who couldn't help themselves so that he could lift them out as he rose. What are we celebrating Christmas for? We're celebrating Jesus's incarnation, that he chose us. He chose to walk with us. He chose to experience what we experience so that he could lift us out of those experiences and give us new ones. That as he rose, he lifts us with him so that where you are is not where you'll always be. Where Jesus found you is not where he will make you stay. That's what the incarnation is about. That's why it's worthwhile to celebrate Christmas. It's because we serve a God who takes on our humanity and lifts as he rises. Can I pray for us? Father, we thank you so much for what you did through Jesus. Thank you what you're doing through Jesus. Thank you for what you will do because of what Jesus humbled himself to do. And we pray, oh God, that this Christmas season, we wouldn't just think about what we have, but we would follow Jesus's model and lift as we rise. Thank you, Lord, that you're lifting us out of the places where you found us, and you're causing us to walk in a newness of life because of what you have redeemed us from and what you're consecrating us and sanctifying us for. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.